our good friend from Blue Cross Vet, Michael Berge, is in the studio. Thanks for being here.
It's good to be here. I enjoy the little talks.
So, Blue Cross Vet, 916 Clark Road, Aberdeen, 533-2591, or you can go to bluecrossveterinaryclinicwa.com, right? Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Since 1929. Well, you haven't been doing it since 1929.
No, but I'm still, there's only three veterinarians going on 100 years.
Wow. I mean, if you had been doing that since 1929, you look fantastic.
Right. I'm pretty much sure that the Dr. Clark is pretty much sincerely dead, by the Wizard of Oz terms.
All right.
But which, by the way, Dr. Clark is a genuine hero. You know,
yeah,
he's a World War One veteran. But he was not just a soldier veteran. He was an officer and a spy. He was captured by the Germans and tortured. And had some PTSD issues. And,
that happens.
A real genuine soldier.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
And then, so starting the clinic was kind of his second life or maybe third life.
Mm-hmm. So, I told you we had kittens, right?
Yes, you did.
We had five of them.
Oh, I don't remember the number, but right. I gather you had five of them.
And we just gave away the second to the last one yesterday.
How old are they?
Gosh, I don't know. They're this big.
That big? Okay.
Yeah, they're that big.
For people who can't really see that on the radio, we're talking about around a three-pound kitten here.
Right. And the runt is left.
Okay.
It's just the runt.
And a serious runt or just slight?
It's just the smallest one of the bunch. I just call it the runt. And it was always being beat up by the other ones.
Oh, he's probably really happy now with this improvement in circumstances.
And I'm really getting to know this kitten, right?
It sounds like a permanent relationship. Here.
Right. He's starting to grow on me. And I was telling Mary yesterday, I'm like, going, gosh, I think I like this cat. Because we have three other cats. Yeah. It's like we don't need any more.
You can have four.
But this one just has personality, you know?
Well, you know, all that bullying and stuff like that probably sets some quirks in his brain.
He comes when you call, you say you're kidding, he comes just running. Okay, what do you need? He's almost like, acts like a dog.
Okay.
Right. He's so adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be hard. Because we'd already found a home for it. Apparently, the girls had found somewhere to...
Oh, okay, but you're not breaking a promise now, are you?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I just said, hey, I like the cat. You know, it might not be right for me to want to keep it because I'm like, we got to get rid of all these cats.
Right,
you know, then
okay.
All of a sudden I want to keep one. But so to be continued, I don't know.
Right, yeah, I mean, well, it sounds like, you know, speaking as a husband, this is a good time for you to shut your mouth.
Right. I know, huh? What's new with you? That's what's new with me. What's new with you?
Well, you know, the clinic, we just kind of bop along.
Yeah.
People sometimes ask me, why is it so hard to find a veterinarian?
And you guys are all booked.
Yeah, everybody. Everybody is totally booked. And, you know, it would be one thing for Blue Cross to be booked, but if you have an emergency and the emergency clinic is booked too, just how did that compute? Now, we've talked about this here on the air before, but the reason for that is not COVID. The reason is long-term investment in veterinary colleges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been going around almost 40 years now since voters have been really willing to pay for big capital expenditures for universities.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know, I respect that. But everything has a cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide you're not going to change the oil on your car, eventually the engine stops working.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decide you're not going to pay for new veterinarians to enter the workforce, eventually you get a shortage of
How do we pay for new veterinarians to get into the workforce?
Well, there's many, many people who would love to be a veterinarian, but they can't get into vet school. You know, there's a certain number of positions open each year for each vet school.
Mm-hmm.
And each one's different. You know, some of the bigger ones can graduate, you know, like 200 per year. When I went to Oregon State, which was the school I graduated from, they were just getting warmed up, and they could only graduate 30 per year.
Oh, wow.
But they can do more now. Mm-hmm. So each time, if you want more veterinarians to graduate, you have to accept more first-year veterinarians.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can accept more first-year veterinarians is if you build new buildings and hire new faculties and have the facilities to educate them. And that's where the money has been not coming.
Oh, okay.
You know, and it's not good or bad. It's just everything has a consequence.
Right.
We make a decision and we have a consequences. So we as a country, if we don't pay for new veterinarians to be educated, eventually, decades later, you come to a point when there's a shortage of veterinarians, and that's where we're at right now.
Wow. Okay.
So not really blaming, but
right.
But that's the reason. There just aren't enough veterinarians.
Can we start a school here?
No.
No?
It's not
that easy.
Not if you want it certified.
Oh. How do you get something certified? Do you know that?
Well, that's a whole massive government bureaucracy in its own right. You know,
right.
You have to do this.
Never
you have
happened
to do
now,
that.
Huh?
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you have enough money. But,
and by the way, I do not like government bureaucracies. But
yeah.
I would rather have a government bureaucracy than no government at all.
Yeah.
You know, the anarchists right. who say, we need to destroy government because we're going to get a perfect thing that will grow out of the ashes.
Right.
No.
No.
No, it does not work.
No. Because I'm going to go take their stuff.
Yeah.
And say, hey, what are you going to do about it now?
No, when we don't like our government, we need to change the laws. That's the way it works.
And they are. Apparently, it's going in the not right direction, but that's not why we're here.
Okay.
Right? Right?
Well, actually, I talk about anything.
Okay. Well, do you do implants? Speaking of government bureaucracy, do you do implants? I know it has nothing to do with that. But
I'm not even sure what an implant is. Do you mean like a bone implant
or a drug implant? No, like the implant like into your pet to where you can track them.
Oh, yeah, we
you
do
find
that.
Find them.
Yeah, everybody does that. Those
chipped.
Are, yeah, those are microchips.
Okay.
Okay, and everybody does microchips. They're really easy. You just buy a microchip. And in fact, people who are listening right now, you can buy one on the Internet.
Oh, yeah?
And if you buy your microchip, which will probably cost you about $10 or $20,
mm-hmm.
You'll get a letter package in the mail, and it will have this like this massive needle. And
really?
Inside of the needle is a little chip the size of a grain of rice.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do to give the chip to your pet is you jam this massive needle into your dog or cat, which they may not approve.
Where at? Anywhere?
It has to be between the shoulder area.
Okay, so they can't get to it?
Yeah, well, no, not so much that. As you can put it in anywhere, you know. But if your pet is ever lost in America, they will be checking between the shoulder blades. They won't be checking the elbow or anything
right.
like that.
Right, kind of just a universal area.
For America. But apparently in Europe, it's the neck.
Oh, so. Of course. We got to do it different, don't we?
Right. But we were there first.
Oh,
so, you know,
okay.
Actually, it was simultaneous. In Europe and the United States, they thought it was the neck better, and the United States thought it was between the shoulders was better.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have...
What do you think?
I like the shoulders better.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bigger target.
So, but is it like...
Okay, also, so you've bought your microchip.
Yeah.
Now and then I'll get a client requesting, say, I bought this microchip, but I don't have the heart to jam it into my pet. Will you do that for me? And I will say, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no extra charge.
No, for no extra charge.
No, but they're already paying an office call to talk to me, so
right.
I can do simple little things in addition to that.
Right. Okay. Hey, if you have any questions for Dr. Berge, and any questions about your pet, or life, I guess, right? You take life questions?
Yeah. Like I said, the only purpose I'm here for is to entertain you guys.
We're going to the phones. It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. I hear you.
Dr. Berge, you talk about how far out for appointments there are. I've got a couple of cats that definitely need some TLC. And what am I looking at as far as if I called up today to make an appointment, how long are we looking at?
Well, I'm not going to put words in my staff member's mouth because that's rude. But what they'll do is they'll work something out with you. If you have a really picky time, then you have to wait longer. If you can fit in between appointments, we can sometimes see you sooner. Another thing we do, if we're really not delivering very well in terms of a prompt appointment, is we'll put you on the callback list. And what that is when people cancel, we have a list of people to call, and then we offer the appointment, just like anybody else would do. But that's kind of hard on you because you'll suddenly get this call out of the blue and say, hey, can you be here in an hour? And then you tell us yes or no on that. But mostly you talk to the front desk. They'll work it out with you and get some sort of mutually agreeable situation.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, you bet. But anyway, yes, for anyone else listening, we really do try hard. It's just a number thing.
Right.
You know, just too many appointments. But that doesn't mean we don't want you to call, because mm-hmm. if you don't call, then we will get really idle really quick.
What are some common problems nowadays that you are addressing with our pets?
Well, you know, there's always a business.
Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah, a warbling sound.
That was amazing.
That's the phone. It's ringing. Yeah. Okay, somebody's trying to reach us.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
My wife and I have been going back and forth about getting the dog nails trimmed. I've owned dogs all my life, never had to trim their nails. And we do 2 miles every night, and on the weekend we probably walk 6 or 7, and I think they get worn down by natural just wear and tear.
That's a very good question. This is exactly the sort of question that people like me like to hear on the radio, because it allows me to expound at length about this and that. Basic idea is, think about the wolves and coyotes and foxes in the woods. Does anyone go out there and catch them and clip their nails? No. They somehow manage to carry on because their nails wear down naturally. Now, for pets, most pets, particularly younger ones, the nails wear down just fine. But sometimes on the front, those little dew claws may not drag across the ground very efficiently, and they can get a little long. But really, all you need to do in terms of your own pet is just keep an eye on those nails, and if some of them are too long, you clip them, and if they look good, then you don't. Does that answer your question?
Yep, and I think they look good, so I'll keep my mouth shut now.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
360-533-5259. You can email or text message. It's johnny@jodesha.com. Speaking of clipping.
Okay.
Are you familiar with clipping chickens' wings so they can't, like, fly away?
Well, any bird, there's two ways to clip the wings.
Yeah.
One is you can clip the primary flight feathers, which makes it hard
for them. There's 10 of them, right? On each wing, right?
I don't remember my examination question on
what?
That one. I'm sorry, they're going to take my license away.
How long ago was that?
Stop. Hush, hush, don't listen to anybody. Anyway, no, I don't remember how many primary flight feathers there are.
Okay.
But normally what you do if you're trying to clip birds' wings in the sense of not causing permanent damage to the bird.
Right, you don't want to hurt the bird or anything.
You take some flight feathers, typically on just one side, and you may take about half of them or maybe all of them if the bird is really, you know, kind of like a... wants to really escape, then you would cut more feathers. If it really accepts that, then you just cut a few feathers. Anyway, that makes them unbalanced. It makes it hard to fly. A lot of birds can still fly a little bit when you clip the wings that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another type of wing clipping, which I would run into that when I was a kid now and then, but I haven't seen it since then, and I certainly would refuse to do it myself.
Yeah?
You just amputate the tip of one wing.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah. Anyway, they might do that for chickens too.
Yeah.
You know, anything to do with farm animals, anything that's cruel for a pet is perfectly okay for a farm animal.
Really?
Yeah, the rules are weird that way.
Wow. Okay.
You can castrate pigs and calves without anesthesia and stuff. They just do it.
Wow.
And if anyone tries to tell them to stop, well, that's unfair government intervention.
Oh, right. Right. Overreach.
Yep.
Hmm.
Did that answer your question about clipping?
Yeah.
Chickens get around, you know, and we kind of depend upon them to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bit of trivia. In Central Park where I live, one of the neighbors has been letting chickens run around loose for several years now.
Oh, yeah?
Which I think is really cute, kind of a third world vibe, you know, particularly with the palm trees growing in our front yard and the chickens scratching beneath them.
Right.
But, you know, they can be a little annoying, too. They're destroying certain plants that we actually paid money to put into the ground, and the chickens just rip them up and eat them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so that can be a little annoying. So there's a difference of opinion about whether those chickens are welcome or not.
Well, yeah. I mean, does your neighbor... They don't care that they're just roaming on your property?
They roam through the big area, you know, several blocks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now and then one gets killed. One of them was devoured on our front. One night I just saw the parts of the dead chicken on the front steps. I think it was probably a raccoon.
But
something killed it, ate part of it, and the other part. He probably would have come back the next day to eat the second part, but I threw it in the dumpster.
Oh, okay. All right. Chickens, yeah, but you don't like treat chickens, right?
No, really, I don't do much on treating farm animals.
Dogs and cats, that's what you kind of specialize in.
Yeah, and that's sad because I'm actually interested in all of these animals. But as a business owner, I try to only take money when I'm providing value in return. In certain situations, I'm just not giving a good deal, so I just tell people no.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, being tied to all the fairs in the state here as a fair commissioner, I had a message into the state vet, and she called me back the other day. My question was if poultry is going to be allowed back into the fairs this summer.
Are we talking
Are
we talking about disease issues here?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she said right now the status quo. Right now they haven't made a decision on that, but, you know, usually we get an email about that. All the fairs do. So right now they haven't made a determination because of the influenza. And they haven't really heard much on the news anymore about it. So maybe it's kind of ran its course. What have you heard?
That's a good question, but I don't really have a good answer for you. And, in fact, I'm listening very closely because you're the expert on this particular subject. And now that's kind of good news that it's easing up a little bit.
And that's the way, that's what it kind of sounded like. She's going to, you know, they're just taking a kind of sit back approach right now. But, you know, like anything, it all could change. So
right.
I don't know if you've ever dealt with any of those kind of issues with the chickens, since you're kind of talking about chickens.
Well, I have to take certain classes on it so that I'm not completely stupid. You know, the continuing education requires me to kind of keep a little bit aware of that. But on a day-to-day basis, I don't do that a whole lot.
Sure, sure. Hey,
but as
you were talking about...
But if you're working with the fairs, that's totally your bread and butter, and it's a big deal because you can get a lot of really unhappy people if one person brings in a sick animal, regardless of whether it's a bird or a mammal, and a lot of other ones get sick.
Right, no matter what species. But, hey, while you're talking about finger or nail clipping on dogs
right.
and cats, here's what the old-timers used to do around here with their dairy cattle.
Okay, what did they do?
Because, as you know, it's all river bottom down through here, so, you know, there's not much stuff to kind of scrub off or trim off the hooves unless you do it. Manually by yourself,
right? Which is a lot of work.
What they used to do is they'd have an avenue where the cows would walk in gravel up to the barn.
And then that's their promenade there, and the gravel was enough to do the job.
And so probably not 100%, but that just kind of kept disease and stuff down on those hooves.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I assume by gravel you mean crushed rock, which would be a little sharper than regular gravel?
Oh, they just said gravel. So it could be round, it could be crushed, you know, who knows. But, again, it's abrasive, so it kind of trims up those hooves. So
you bet.
I thought it was kind of cool with the old-timers.
I love old-timer knowledge. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, a bit of trivia.
This is what an old-timer told me.
A bit of trivia on hooves. Cows' hooves are much more water-resistant than horse hooves. Cows can stand in water way, way more than horses can. Horses are from the dry steppes, and if their hooves are soggy too long, you get hoof rot right away.
Mm.
And that's a big deal around here.
Oh, yeah. All right, sir. We'll see
you. Thank you for the call.
Yep, thanks for the call. The number is 360-533-5259. You can email or text message. It's johnny@jodesha.com. It's almost time for our bottom of the hour break. Anything you want to touch up on before we hit that break?
Just a quick few seconds. I should say that, you know, speaking of diseases, there's a canine influenza that's been trying to penetrate the United States for several years now, and we've managed to squelch it. But I suspect it may win that battle in the long run, and that would be another disease to worry about for your dog.
Once a month and offers free pet advice, courtesy of Blue Cross Vet, and here you are.
Okay, yes, remember.
Right.
And we've got our phone, a brand-new phone working.
Right.
So we're kind of working the bugs out. It makes funny noises and things, but voices come out of it, and that's a good thing.
Yes. It's a box that voices come out, and, yeah. and it's not my head that the right. voices are coming out of. You
well,
know?
Those voices, maybe we should work on those ones.
You are a doctor.
Yeah, and a counselor, too. Every veterinarian is a part-time psychiatrist. So,
yeah. How does that work out for you? I mean, what's
well,
that
Well,
like?
The office calls $50, Johnny, so if you need some help, just come on by.
Well, the number is 360-533-5259. You can email or text message. It's johnny@jodesha.com. If you have a pet question, anything that my little runt kitty I should be looking out for, you know, like anything going around that should be a concern or anything?
No, you just do you treat the little kitty just like the big kitty? You know, kill fleas, maybe give it a little worming medicine now and then. Vaccinations are good, but particularly you kill the fleas. You know, I go on about fleas, and this is a good time to kind of stick my foot in my mouth. You know, okay, fleas are bugs. You know, we don't like them. You know, different types of plants have been trying to kill bugs for millions of years. And the original flea products were permethrins, pyrethrins. That's a type of chrysanthemum that makes poisonous sap so the bugs die.
Okay.
So there's nothing new about that. But as soon as a plant makes a poison, the bugs become resistant to the poison. So when we start synthesizing these pesticides, it's really no surprise that the bugs become resistant to those, too. So it's an ongoing battle, except our scientists are much faster than evolution, so we can create new poisons faster than the bugs can get resistant to them, sort of. But what that means is that some products that really, really worked really nicely, like Frontline and Advantage, they may only have a run of 20 or 30 years before the fleas become resistant. And this is true for the farmers, too. And so then you kind of twiddle your thumbs and wait for a new product to reach the market. And for your pets, we do have a lot of good new products. But the corporations have decided this is a good time to rip people off, so they're kind of expensive. And most of them, pretty much all of them, are prescription. So the bottom line is you know, the feed stores are doing their best, but they do not have permission to sell the good stuff, which really pisses them off. But all the good stuff for fleas has to have a prescription. Now, many times you'd buy that directly from the veterinarian, but you can also buy them online and get the veterinarian to sign for it, which is a cheaper way to get it.
Right.
But they are prescription products, and they really are, much as I hate to say it, they are worth the extra price because you need results.
I got a text. Question, is it possible for owners to trim their own dog's nails? I could do it when our lab was a baby, but he's a strong middle-aged man dog now, and he will not let me hardly look at them now, let alone trim them. Is it me, or is it the technique?
It's the dog.
Yeah?
It's not me, it's you.
Yeah.
But what it is, you know, every veterinarian trims nails, except where we will at least attempt to trim the nails. Sometimes we have an animal so wacko that we give up. but that's kind of embarrassing to give up because we're supposedly the professionals.
Right.
And then the groomers will also trim nails, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe PetSense has a nail trimming
okay.
offer. I think it's like... it's a good deal because you can go in and get the nail. But if you go in with an animal that's wacko, they probably will also tell you no.
Yeah.
But
okay.
At least it's cheap.
Right. But you get what you pay for, though, too, right?
Yeah. And the main thing is, of course, you can trim your own nails. If you trim them too short and they bleed, the dog will look at you like you're a monster because you're a monster.
Right. You want to be careful because there's what's it called in the nail there, the dog's nail that...
We call it the quick, typically.
Yeah, don't clip that off or...
Right, if you cut into that part, it will bleed and it will hurt,
right.
But it's not dangerous. Now, a lot of people come in, you know, they'll call the emergency...
They're all freaked out.
All freaked out because their dog is bleeding and they were told it's going to die. No, it's not going to die. It will glare at you, and it may never forgive you, but it's not going to die. It will just bleed for a while, and then the bleeding will eventually stop.
Okay.
A really bad cut on the nails may bleed for a couple of days. It may drip a little bit for a couple of days.
Ew. So,
and that does freak people
ew.
Out.
Ew. Icky. Icky, icky blood. So if you have any questions for Dr. Berge, it's 360-533-5259. It's like free pet advice. That's what this is.
Yeah, this is free pet advice. And once again, if you don't ask me a question, I'll just make stuff up.
Okay. What should we make? Okay, we talked about microchip implants. Do you do dental things, dental stuff?
Yes. Yeah. Every veterinarian does dental work, which usually means pulling rotten teeth. So we clean the teeth, but by the time we get a crack at it, many times a lot of those teeth are really trashed, and some of them have to be pulled too. And even if you do have a lot of teeth pulled, it is totally worth it.
Yeah. Because
if you don't, particularly if you have a small breed dog, those rotten teeth will seriously shorten their lifespan. You know, a Chihuahua that might have lived to be 16 might die of heart disease at 9 because of bad teeth.
Wow.
So it's a real deal. And it's true for humans, too. If you have rotten teeth and you're listening, go to the dentist.
Yeah. Okay. But you don't work on human teeth, though.
No. I can work on every species except one.
Really?
Yeah, I can even work on Sasquatch, but I'm not allowed to work on humans.
On humans?
Yeah.
Wow. How long is that training?
To be a veterinarian?
Well, for the dental part.
Oh, it's part of the package.
Yeah.
You know, the veterinary degree actually is a super. It's more than just an MD degree in some ways, because it's the equivalent of an MD for pets. But it's also equivalent of a dentistry degree,
right?
And a pesticide handler's license.
We should do that with like human doctors. They get dental. They get just everything that you get too.
Well, they used to be all the same, but then they kind of separated out. It's more specialist.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Good morning, Johnny. Good morning, Dr. Berkey. I got a question for you.
Oh, okay. I heard your voice, but now we're hearing funny noises from the phone.
Right. Oh, and you do that. I don't know.
I think you might have been cut off.
Right. I don't know why it did that. It did that on its own.
All right. Try again. We'll get you through.
Are you there?
Yep. Got
okay.
You.
Go for it.
All right. Following up on the last question you read off about the nails, the aggressive dog, I am in the same dilemma, and I wanted to ask you another question regarding that, and that's my dog is a pit mix, and... You know, he's well-loved, and we don't have any issues with him at all. But when you try to touch his nails, suddenly he becomes a pit bull.
Yeah.
And my mind is like the only way anybody's going to clip that dog's toenails is if you put him to sleep. And I was just wondering, you talked about problem dogs, and sometimes you just give up, and, you know, we shouldn't do that. We're experts. You know, I'm wondering, can I make an appointment with your office to bring my pup in and have him sedated in order to do that? Because he has a real bad, couple of bad nails, and partly my fault, but it got worse. But he's got one that's in a complete circle.
Oh, yeah, he definitely needs some work on that. So what we do is, I have a shot that makes animals fall asleep, which is, ketamine and xylazine. But I won't do that for nail clips. I save it for more important stuff. Typically, if the dog is a troublesome dog, I may send you home with some acepromazine pills ahead of time, which is a mild sedative, and that helps a little bit. But mostly what we do is we trick the dog into getting a muzzle on his face, and I have a drawer full of every size muzzle you can think of. So once we've got that muzzle on, then we bring in lots of flunkies and do a football tackle on the dog and go for it. And that's the way we do it at Blue Cross.
Is there a rule of thumb on clipping the nails to how far back you can go without damaging the quick?
Well, the trouble is the quick doesn't read the book. And particularly for older dogs, that quick can go way, way out. And you trim the nail where it really ought to trim it, and it starts gushing blood. Which, once again, is not going to kill the dog, and it may actually put the quick into a healthier position for later use, but you're not going to make any friends with the dog at that moment.
And when I'm in that zone, the one I'm worried about most is not the dog, but my wife.
Ooh.
And that's definitely where it's worth the money, pass the buck, and blame it on somebody else, because that's my job.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. I'm just curious, because I don't think there's any way. He's got one bad paw and three good ones. I snip all the other ones without him being bothered. I just scratch his belly and I good belt. But, that one that's pulled around.
Yeah, it has to be done one way or another. But we use muzzles for stuff like that, and it really helps a lot.
No chance of, say, tying a string to it and slamming the door?
I would definitely say no. Just no.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call on that.
Dr. Berge is here from Blue Cross Vet, offering any free pet advice. 360-533-5259. Text or email Johnny at jodesha.com. And, yeah, we've had some decent calls.
Yeah, we were talking about wrestling pit bulls, you know.
Oh, right.
That's just, you know, that's our life, you know. I've never wrestled a mountain lion. If somebody asked me to work on a mountain lion, I would do the little touchy things, and some handler would take care of the important parts.
Right, right.
But long before I was a veterinarian, I did work as at SeaWorld, and we would do stuff with, you know, 3,000 pounds.
Shamu?
The killer whales, the elephant seals. The males can get up to around 3,000 pounds.
Oh, wow.
You know, and they can be a little hard to handle.
I heard they're hard to handle out in the Westport docks. Sea lions.
I haven't heard the latest on that, but yeah. I believe they can
be eating up all our fish.
But have they eaten any chihuahuas lately?
Not chihuahuas that I know of. I just hear they're eating all our salmon and other fish, yeah. And then we're blaming global warming or something like that. Or I don't
know.
Well,
they
oil.
Can be a factor, but yeah. On the docks, when they get too bold, they will sometimes eat pets too.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. And you can't. It's against the law to thin them out or anything, mm-hmm. So I don't know.
That's a work in progress.
Right. Well, it's 12 minutes still. We have some time to talk with Dr. Berge if you have any questions for him with your pet, cats and dogs, right? Cats and dogs.
But, well, on the air here, I will talk about anything. And I sometimes, even though I won't take money for fixing snakes and things, I can sometimes give worthwhile advice, particularly if it's free.
Right. And, because free, yeah.
Free,
get what
free
you pay
is good.
For.
No. You wouldn't believe the things I've been able to give away on the roadside, you know, broken stuff.
Yeah.
You put a sign on saying free, and it's gone.
Now, I've heard you say that with certain types of, like, exotic animals, like lizards and snakes and, you know, just certain types, when it gets to time to go to the vet, by then it's kind of too late.
Right, and that's why I try to back away.
Yeah.
You know, I'll talk about it, but I usually don't take money. You bring the pet in, give me money, and I say, well, your
pet's going to die.
Yeah,
pretty
that
much.
That makes me feel bad, and the owners are not particularly pleased with me either.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I can't give good advice. The basic thing for any of these things is everything you can think of, if you can buy it from a pet store, there's a book about it. And probably several books.
Yeah.
Buy the book, too.
Yeah.
And read it. And then they will tell you all the different things about how hot, how cold, mm-hmm. how dry, how wet, and particularly vitamins. Because all these things are really sensitive to vitamin deficiencies,
mm-hmm.
and vitamin D deficiencies particularly. So if they've been missing their vitamin D, they come to me, the bones have all turned to mush. You know, they're a dead man walking.
Mm.
But if you had been giving them a proper diet all along, they could live for years.
Really?
Yeah. So food is
really
important.
How about vitamins? Can I give them vitamin powder?
Yeah, absolutely. Stuff? You know, yeah. The high-quality vitamin supplement, usually in powder form. What you typically will do is the food that they like, say mealworms or whatever,
mm-hmm.
You let them crawl around on the vitamin powder for a little bit just before you feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And the powder that's sticking to their surface will provide plenty of vitamins for your pet.
Any place around here to get mealworms that you know of?
No, I haven't been following it.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically, you know, Marshall's or any other pet store is where you would ask about that.
Okay. Wow. Hmm. But if your lizard's turning blue, that's...
Well, maybe it's a blue lizard.
Okay. Yeah. What's the most exotic animal that you've ever encountered just in life? Not necessarily treating as a vet.
Oh. Well, the one that pops to mind right now is it was dead. But before I was a vet, I worked as a lab tech at the diagnostic lab in Corvallis, Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I made my connections to go to vet school in the first place. But at any rate, I cut open dead things, and then the real doctors would go and look at them, and then I would clean up the mess.
Oh, wow.
But at any rate, we had a very, very big snake. Mm-hmm. It was about 20 feet long, and it was dead, a female. Mm-hmm. And they cut it open. They never did figure out why it died, because that can be a real problem. Even no matter how much knowledge you throw at it, the world's full of mysteries.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there was this big, it was a constrictor of some sort, python probably.
Yeah.
And so then it was time for me to clean it up and stuff like that. And I remember hearing about how so sharp is a serpent's tooth, mm-hmm. you know, Shakespeare and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened the mouth, and they're just full of teeth there. And I touched one of them to see how sharp it was. And guess what?
Cut you.
It's really sharp. You know that, I don't know, the Lord of the Rings where that guy touches the sword, you know, and cuts himself.
Right.
It was kind of like that.
Wow.
It was just magically sharp.
Right. So what do you do with a big 20-foot snake carcass? You just throw it in the dumpster or what?
Well, what we did with that one is somebody, we actually took out the guts. We threw those in the dumpster, and then they took the body away because somebody was going to take it to a taxidermist and get the skin removed properly.
Oh, wow.
And if you're removing a skin of anything, whether a reptile or a mammal, mm-hmm. There's considerable skill involved.
Right.
And if you have somebody like me doing it, we'll nick it and damage it.
Right.
But if a professional does it, it's much more valuable when they're done.
So what were they going to do with the snake skin? Make some shoes or?
I don't remember. My memory fails me in that. Okay, I just remember that.
You just remember that.
No, I just don't remember. But I do remember right. that we did not throw the snake in the dumpster. Somebody took it away.
Is there ever a case
where... Oh, it's not a dumpster, by the way. Yeah. At the diagnostic lab, there were carts, and a truck would come, but it was not a garbage truck. It was a rendering truck. So they would take it to Eugene Chemical, where they would boil the fat out of all this stuff and grind up the dry part for fertilizer.
Oh, wow.
and yes, that fat is used for making lipstick and things like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's true.
It's true.
Wow. Any other kind of cool animals you got to poke around with?
Well, you know, before I was a veterinarian, as a tuna porpoise observer, the fishermen would bring up a lot of really neat things. I brought that marlin spike here on one of the previous visits. And
right.
And we had some really, really big sharks that would come on board.
Would that freak you out with the sharks circling and stuff? And
well, of course, there was no danger for me because I was just standing on deck looking at these things. And, you know, mm-hmm. they would soon die when they came out of water.
Well, what if the boat sank? Then you wouldn't be safe.
I would not be. Okay. If the boat sank.
Did that freak you out?
yes, I would be concerned about that.
Yeah.
If one of those tuna boats sank, they have some very expensive rubber rafts that mm-hmm. are mounted on the roof, and mm-hmm. then they automatically fill up. And then everybody would get in the rafts. There probably would be more than one. Mm-hmm. And then you have radio beacons and things like that. Also, in the fishing grounds, the other fishing boats are usually not very far away.
Oh,
you may be very, very far from San Diego, but you're not very far from the other fishing boats.
Right. They'll come in and
they would rescue
swoop you in.
Yeah.
Okay. So, any specific variety of sharks swimming around you? Great whites or hammerheads or?
Well, they had different sharks. The biggest shark was in that area, that place and time, was a brown shark.
Mm-hmm.
They would get to be about 15 feet long or so, and they had a big jaws.
Mm-hmm.
But the white tip shark was the more dangerous. Even though it's half the size of that brown shark, the jaws were just as big. It was just all teeth.
Oh, wow.
And those are the ones that would actually attack the dolphins and kill them sometimes.
Why would they do that? They're so mean.
Well, you know, it's a jungle out there.
Yeah.
Also, when the dolphins are kind of crowded into the nets, they can't defend themselves very well.
Yeah.
So I did personally observe one incident where probably just one shark was making multiple attacks on the crowded dolphins, and I could see the blood slicks in the water.
Oh, wow.
So it was not very nice.
Right. And you have to report that, take that data down?
Yeah, because that's what tuna porpoise observed. That's what tuna porpoise observers do.
Mm-hmm.
They observe the fishing operations and write their notes. Mm-hmm. And if the fishermen are following the rules, then no problem. But if the fishermen are flouting the rules, which they often would do, they could get find legal issues.
Did you ever catch them doing bad things?
No.
No? Nice. No.
Yeah. But then, you know, not every voyage had an observer. Mm. So on the voyages without observers, they probably did differently.
We're not being watched.
Yeah.
So, well, we have a few more minutes left with Dr. Berge at Blue Cross Vet. If you have any pet questions, it's 360-533-5259. You can text or email johnny@jodeshit.com. Dewormings. You do dewormings?
Yes. Now, okay. I just finished earlier this hour. I talked about how there's really, you can't get by any really good flea meds from the feed store, and I'm very sad about that because they're doing their best.
Right.
But when you go to the feed store and ask for worm medicine, they can do great. The worm medicine that you buy from the feed store is just as good as the worm medicine you buy from the veterinarian.
Really?
Yeah. And there's two styles. You've got the cheaper ones that kill only the roundworms, and then now and then if you think you have a tapeworm, you pay extra for one that kills tapeworms too.
Hmm. And you kind of pay the same thing, or, you know, you have to pay more for this kind and this kind?
Right, exactly. And when I'm buying the stuff wholesale, it's expensive.
Yeah.
You know, a bottle the size of your hand might cost me $500.
Wow.
You know.
How long does that go?
Well, it actually lasts for a long time.
Yeah.
But some of these prices are just crazy.
Yeah, they are. They are a crazy. Times, they are a-changing.
Well, actually, the drug prices, that's a relatively new over the last 20 years or so. But the basic concept of ripping people off, I think that's actually been around.
That's been around. Yeah. The rip-off thing. Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, I was talking to, was it Mark yesterday, about PBMs.
What's a PBM?
They're the middleman that negotiate drug prices, and they're the ones, they're getting rich because we're paying more for drugs and medication. And so, and legislation to try to
oversee
it.
In 90 seconds, I don't think I can do this justice, but there's a lot of serious ripping off going on.
Yeah, and I ain't making none of it. You know what I mean?
I'm not either.
Right.
You know, the way I address it is I pay horrible high prices wholesale and just mark it up a little bit.
Keep your lights on, right?
Yeah, but mostly I'm doing it as a public service. You know, I'm not losing money, but I'm not earning money.
Right.
The money is going to someone else.
Oh, boy. Well, it's Blue Cross Veterinary Clinic, 916 Clark Road in Aberdeen. The website is bluecrossveterinaryclinicwa.com, or just, you know, Google Blue Cross Vet.
Right. You'll find us if you're looking for us.
Right. And I appreciate...
And the bottom line is, whatever your pet is, if it hasn't been to a vet in a year, I can probably do you some good if you bring it in. You just have to be patient.
Well, thanks for coming in, man.
All right.